Lord Jesus Christ. So today we celebrate this great feast of the Ascension of our Lord, the completion of the Paschal Mystery, the Passion, Suffering, Death, Resurrection, and Ascension of Jesus. This journey that we started back on Ash Wednesday, it comes to completion for Jesus, we can say today, in this last week of preparation, as we prepare for Pentecost on Sunday to complete the Easter season. We heard from St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. So the same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke wrote Acts of the Apostles. So this is like the second part of the story. He tells us that this happened 40 days after Easter. So technically this should have been celebrated on Thursday. In some places it is. But because it's such an important feast in the life of the church, our bishops have allowed us to celebrate it today so that more people can experience this, so more people can enter into this mystery. Because what Jesus does today allows us to enter into these liturgical mysteries in real time. Jesus ascended into heaven in this great cloud. And then the disciples said, well, before that, they said, what's next? What's going to happen next? When's the next thing going to come? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know that. Just wait, pray. And when you receive power from the Holy Spirit, go and do the same things that I have done. The apostles, the disciples, were living like we do in this linear sequence of events. This happens, then this happens, and this happens, and then what's next? Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, has given us access to the eternal now. So that those things that historically happened 2,000 years ago, when we celebrate them in the liturgy, they are an active, present thing for us today. So this is the mystery that we're celebrating, this great ascension of Jesus into the heavens. And it says that he was taken up in a cloud. And I think we don't have the proper words to really describe what happened, so we take what the sacred authors gave us, and we try to use our imagination, that great gift of God to the human person, our imaginations, so that we can entertain the things of God, which go beyond nature. But in our imagination, we can imagine the scene. But when the sacred author tells us it was taken up in a cloud, that should force us to go back to the Old Testament, to the oftentimes that the cloud was present to God's people. When Moses climbed the mountain to encounter God face to face, the mountain was covered in a cloud. When the Israelites were walking through the desert, they were led by the great cloud. When the angel Gabriel came to our Blessed Mother for the Annunciation, she was overshadowed by a great cloud. This great cloud is this signifier of the mystery of God, where this heaven and earth have come together, which is why so frequently at Mass we will use incense. This smoke rising up creates sort of a veil, creates sort of a cloud around the altar, around the scriptures, to hide the mystery, or maybe to reveal the mystery that it's not just the simple words being said or words being read, but Jesus is present to his people. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he brought us with him. And that's what we prayed in the opening prayer, the Collect. That where the head has gone, the body in hope hopes to go. And when did we get joined to Jesus? In our baptism. We died to this world and became a member of the body of Christ. And Jesus was sent, as we know, for this great re-ingathering, the disintegration of the tribes, the disintegration of this unity between God and his people that was disintegrated because of sin, Jesus came to bring it back together. And that began with our baptism, and it continues through our life. And because Jesus has ascended into heaven, we can follow him there. And this is what the great feast that we're celebrating, this joining of heaven and earth, that where the head is gone, the body is sure to follow. So why do we have hope that we will go to heaven? Because of the feast we're celebrating today. And this is why it's so glorious and so necessary for us to enter into this. Because this does complete the Paschal mystery. This does complete the saving mysteries of our faith. And why? But why? What's the reason? What impact does it have on our life? Because as Jesus told the apostles, stay, pray, wait for the Holy Spirit. It's through the giving of the Holy Spirit that we're able to live this life of Christ, that Christ starts to live within us, that we don't just follow a leader who lived in the past and gave us good teachings to follow, but we become enlivened by that very same Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that came down upon Jesus in his baptism, that led him out to his mission, comes down upon us and leads us on our mission. And this is what Jesus told the apostles to wait for. Wait for the power to come, and then go out and witness. And then at the end of Mark's gospel, after Jesus ascended, it said that they went out and did their work, and the Lord was with them. How was the Lord with them if he truly ascended and went away, if he truly departed from them? No, when he ascended, he went to heaven and opened up that reality so that his Spirit could be poured upon his people and poured upon us, so that we can go forward with Christ. And the Lord, just like he was with the disciples, the Lord is with us. And the same power, the same mission that the disciples were given, we are given to go out in power and to do these same works so that we continue the saving work of Jesus. So that Paschal mystery that is completed in our lives today can become completed in the lives of the people in those streets who don't know Jesus. That we go forward with Christ, in Christ, to be Christ to the world. This is the power that we have received through our baptism, and that the Lord is with us. These last few weeks, we've been hearing about Jesus telling us to remain with him. To remain with him, and then we will produce fruit. To remain in his love. It's through this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we're able to do so. And where is Christ most present to us? In the Holy Eucharist. It's in the Holy Eucharist that we remain with him. It's in the Holy Eucharist that we are replenished with the Holy Spirit to go out and do these good works. So we're in this period of waiting and of praying. Praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we know will come next Sunday on Pentecost. The apostles, the disciples didn't know when it was going to be. Jesus said, stay, pray, wait. And so we're in the midst of this first great novena, praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the Holy Spirit being given to us. The same way that it was given to the apostles will be given to us. It was given to us in our baptism. It was confirmed in our confirmation. It's restored and renewed in confession in the Holy Eucharist. It's a reality. And each time we come to Mass, we're entering into this reality of this Paschal mystery. And so what is it that we're praying for? What is the effect? Yes, the power that Jesus talked about in the Gospel, the power that we see in the Acts of the Apostles. But St. Paul, in that second reading from Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 17 to 23, if I was going to give you homework, I would say go home and read Ephesians chapter 1. It's a beautiful passage. Those first 14, 15 verses, St. Paul is telling us who we are in Christ. That from the foundation of the world, we were created to be one with God. and that he sent his son to make it true for us. And in these verses we have today, it's the prayer that St. Paul had for his people. And it's the prayer that St. Paul has for each one of us. So this is what we should be praying for. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. We want to have our eyes of our hearts opened, have wisdom so we can know God. And St. John tells us that that is what eternal life is. Eternal life is to know God. And may the eyes of our hearts be opened that we know what is the hope that belongs to our call and what is the hope that we're going to heaven. We pray in these days for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to know with certainty that we're going to heaven. And what are the riches of the glory in the inheritance among the holy ones, the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. This word power that keeps coming up is a word where we get dynamite. This is supposed to be the effect of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we celebrate the ascension today so that, like St. Paul says throughout his letters, we can keep our minds, we can keep our heart on the things above and not get distracted by the things below. It's so easy for that to happen. So in these days of praying, these days of waiting, let us open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Let us put behind us the things of this world and keep our heart and our minds and our eyes on the things above. So that when we go out into the world, we proclaim Christ. We proclaim the truth. We proclaim the power of heaven and the Holy Spirit. This is the reality that we're celebrating today. And it's easy to pass over it. It's easy to overlook it. But Christ has gone to heaven, and we are part of him, his body. So where Christ has gone, we are going too, if we want it. Do you want it?